Welcome to Panelcast, Forbidden Panels podcast featuring comic books, video games, and movie news and reviews. And now, your host, AJ Herrera.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 146 of the Panelcast. Welcome to a special edition. We are here outside, freezing our asses off, waiting for the premiere of Star Wars Episode 7. I'm here with...
Anthony.
And...
Don.
This will be a weird kind of show. We're going to do our normal news and reviews and whatnot, but the reviews will be about the movie. So we'll be coming to you with that part after we watch it. Up until then, we're going to fill your ear holes with a whole bunch of nonsensical news and whatnot. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back for that.
Hi, this is Vanessa with Blackbird Bows, inviting you to visit my website at blackbirdbows.com. where you can find 100% original and customized bows for every occasion. That's blackbirdbows.com.
Welcome back, everybody. It is time again for our news segment. So I'll send it off to AJ to throw his first tidbit at you.
Oh, you better duck.
How about I just move?
As we stated before, we are in line right now for the premiere of Star Wars Episode 7. When we get out of the theater, we'll be talking to you about how much we did or did not like it. But leading up to that, we're going to still continue doing our news stories, which we're only doing one story each since we're freezing. And when we do, after we're done with the news, we'll come back and talk about our expectations for the film. So leading up to it, let's talk about my first bit that I'm excited about. Aaron Martin has been signed on to pen the pilot and serve as showrunner on CBC's TV series adaptation of Jeff Lemire's beloved coming-of-age graphic novel trilogy, Essex County. Set in Canada's Ontario in Detroit, adjacent Essex County, the story explores the family's origins across generations. Lemire, Christina Pielvison, Ted Adams, and Chris Staros will also executive produce. Now, I'm not sure if you guys have been listening to our show for that long, what have you, but we actually reviewed Jeff Lemire's Essex County a while back. I was a huge fan of the book and have been doing my best to trick everybody into reading it at every opportunity I can by telling them it's a great hockey story.
Suck.
Even though it is far, far, far worse. I mean, not saying that hockey's bad, but you know.
No, it's a fantastic story. It really is it's a graphic novel, but you know, it's not what you think of typically when you come across comic books or that kind of fare. It's a really well-told story. It's really emotional. It's really deep. And it just fits. There is hockey, so, you know, you were honest about that. But it's one of those that seriously tugs at the heartstrings all the way through.
Right. It's more of an illustrated novel than anything.
Yeah.
A graphic novel, I guess, would be an accurate description of it. Have you read it?
No.
Okay, then.
Yeah. I got nothing to add.
What is your story?
Okay, I don't know if I'm excited about this or worried, but Vin Diesel has signed a deal with Universal TV, and he is developing a new show that will add to the Riddick series. So we're going to get Richard B. Riddick on the small screen. Whether or not Diesel takes...
Rick Riddick!
Whether or not Diesel takes up the mantle once again as Riddick is unknown. What is known is that the show will focus more on bounty hunters that inhabit Merc City than, you know, focusing on the Furians. Added to that, David Twohy is back on board, and he is writing the fourth installment in the Riddick film franchise, which is going to be titled Furia. Based on the way the Riddick franchise has gone over the last couple films, I'm not entirely sure that I'm excited for more entries in this field, but... You know, getting to see Merc City might be interesting.
Well, you know, it's kind of like seeing the Tales from the Cantina novel as a movie. So it might be kind of interesting to see something like that going. However, I don't feel the tug to it like I do with John Wick, you know, in that world. But it might make me want to watch it.
It might be worth it. I just don't know. Getting David Twohy back on board for...
Twohy,
whatever. Getting him back on board to Panteria is kind of a cool thing, so the quality might go back up, and it might draw me back in. I've always loved the character, so that alone might be enough to pull me back in, but we'll have to wait and see.
Sorry about that sudden and immediate break. Ran into one of the news reporters I knew from the beauty pageant, and she's here covering the fact that we're stupid and standing in line for all day for Star Wars. Yay! Anywho, yeah, Merc City, I mean, we'll see how it turns out, but who knows how long, how much longevity it'll have, or even if it has a decent name anymore or pull from how badly the last movie left a bad taste in her mouth.
Yeah, it. The last movie really did, it turned a lot of people off. A lot of fans turned off to the franchise in general. So, I mean, Vin Diesel has his diehard followers, so those people are going to flock to it anyway. And people that love the character are at least going to check it out, which is kind of the boat that I'm going to fall into. I'm going to check it out, but I'm not holding out any kind of hope.
Right, right. You?
I'll probably go see it just because I grew up with the Riddick movies.
Well, it's a TV series, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There is a TV series that's in the works with Universal, and there is a fourth movie that's being written right now.
Yeah, I'll probably watch the TV series as well as go see the movie.
I mean, it won't cost you anything.
Exactly.
To watch a bad TV series.
Well, I mean, it'll cost my time.
Take hours out of your life.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for the news segment. We'll come back in a couple minutes and just talk about what we're hoping does happen and what we're hoping doesn't happen with Star Wars Episode 7. So we'll be right back.
Hey guys, this is Dan.
And this is Jen.
We're your hosts on The Road Ahead.
Add us on Facebook and find out about some of the interesting, odd, and amazing places you can visit on your next road trip.
Just go to www.facebook.com/The Road Ahead Series. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Road Ahead Series or simply follow us at Road Ahead Series.
Thanks, and we'll see you on The Road Ahead. Now back to the panel cast.
And we're back. We are still here in line at the Regal Cinema in downtown. We're not allowed to say the name because we don't want to get shot. And again, I'm here with Anthony and Don. Guys, so Don, we'll start with you. What are your? Tell us about your background with Star Wars.
My background, well, seeing as I spent most of my childhood around you, I watched it.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. I pretty much saw the original trilogy repeatedly, over and over, and I love it. And I saw the prequels, and we all know that story.
So, going into this, what are your expectations?
It's J.J. Abrams. I like J.J. Abrams' films. I love Super 8. That was him, right? Yeah. So, I love those films.
I love Super 8. Yeah. That was him, right?
Yeah. I want to make sure. But, you know, I love his films, you know, Lens Flares and all that. But, I trust him. Star Trek is pretty alright. Practical effects is going to be nice. Actually, you see the aliens, not glossy animation.
Full on built sets are going to be nice.
Yeah. You know, actual X-Wings.
The actual Millennium Falcon having been built.
Yeah, exactly. Actual stormtroopers.
What are your fears?
Oh, God. Well, a lot of them have been taken away. You know, Jar Jar Binks isn't going to be in it. That was my major
fear. That you know of.
That I hope. But
he's Kylo Ren, I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah, totally. Take off that helmet. He's going to kill you now.
Yeah.
But, other fears? Story's not good. That the characters just aren't well developed. Those are my major fears right now.
Do you think if the graphics are well enough that you'll just be ignoring the story?
Probably not. You know, that's what Star Wars is all about. It's the story. And the graphics are great, you know, seeing all these little miniatures flying around, but you still need a good story to back it up.
Okay, Anthony, your turn. What's your background with Star Wars?
Let's see. Background.
Alrighty then, so.
Background in Star Wars. Being that, well, started coming out before I was born. I grew up watching it on TV repeatedly. Ended up getting it on VHS tapes, the original trilogy, and watched them so many times I destroyed those tapes. So, I've loved Star Wars for as long as I can remember, basically. There's, you know, that gap that is the prequels, but they were still entertaining enough to watch. And yeah. The storytelling was okay, even if the casting was questionable in certain places. So, you know, that's the background as far as...
Yeah, what are your expectations with the new series coming out? Well, this movie in particular.
Expectations are or hopes and fears, because expectations covers a little bit of both.
I want to know, like, you know, what you want to see, what you're hoping gets shown.
I don't have any expectations on that front. We're dealing with old characters and a bunch of new ones, so getting to know those new characters, I'm hoping that they're actual full characters and not just caricatures, you know, not just flat one-dimensional people to take up space and move a plot along. And
you've gone on a media blackout leading up to this, though, right?
Yeah, I absolutely have. I watched the first trailer repeatedly, and then I decided there was so much Star Wars that was just everywhere. I just blacked it all out. It's been like a month and a half, 2 months now. I've just blanked out everything Star Wars related because I want to go into this and actually be able to enjoy the film. I don't want to feel like I've watched huge chunks of it through trailers or read about it on any rumor posts or any of that stuff. I just want to enjoy the film. So I'm terrified for certain reasons because, you know, this is Disney's first foray into the Star Wars universe, and Disney has a history with certain projects, so I don't know what their influence is going to be, but I'm holding out hope because I love Star Wars as a franchise.
Yeah, I get what you mean by the media blackout because, you know, with the Batman versus Superman, you watch that trailer, you get pretty much the whole story just from that.
Actually, you don't. That leads up to the halfway point.
Still, you get a large chunk of, you know, things.
You're led to believe that.
Yeah. So that's what annoys me about that, and that's why I stuck to only the first trailer for this as well, because I don't want to know, you know, who's going to fight who and what scenes they're going to show up. I don't want to go in there and be like, oh, this is when this happens from the trailer. You know, the first trailer was nice. You got to see little snapshots of it, you know who some of the characters are in a way, I guess, and, you know, see the Millennium Falcon fly again.
That's awesome.
That's all we need.
Yep, that was all I needed.
Me personally, you know, I saw the very first Star Wars, the original version, 1977, in a theater with my dad, because I'm old, yes. Granted, I was four, but from that point, it just affected my life in every way humanly possible. You know, I had all these toys, all the action figures, had everything that you people are collecting now. Unfortunately, I gave it to my kid when he was a baby, and they were all destroyed. I love you, Gage, but you messed up my toys. We got problems. Coming into the movie, I've seen all the trailers. I wanted to do a media blackout, but I find that it's hard because I have an insatiable thirst for knowledge, and I just wanted to know. I didn't want to walk in and have my heart broken. You know, the original trilogy was amazing. The new trilogy, I'm sorry to say it, I did love the story, and I liked the graphics and the action. I just hated the actors. I hated Anakin. I'll just say it right there.
Yeah, exactly. Like
kid Anakin, old Anakin, Anakin. I hated Anakin. I thought Ewan McGregor was cool
exactly.
As Obi-Wan.
I loved him.
But, I mean, it was just Anakin just broken down. However, recently, you know, the screenplay was released on the original Star Wars. And somebody took the time to take out all of the Luke Skywalker bits from all of the movies and run them together solo without anything else going on, anything. And Luke was just a whiny bitch as Anakin.
Oh, yeah.
And so when you ran those scenes together, honestly, Hayden was just playing Luke Skywalker again.
Yeah,
another whiny version. However, I think it was that we were just so tired of it, and he did so horrible of a job of it, that it ruined the franchise for us. But I still stand behind the fact that Darth Maul, Ray Park, is the only person ever to kill Liam Neeson on screen. Fantastic. On screen. Well, you know, that's all I'm saying. And Darth Maul will always be my favorite Sith. Always. He just has that presence. So I'm going into this, like, hopeful. I'm going into this feeling like a child. Like my dad's taking me into the movie theaters once again to see this awesome story, and I'm excited for it. And everything I've seen, you know, even BB-8, the realism behind it, and reading the news articles of Kevin Smith walking on the Millennium Falcon and how he reacted on it brings me hope. So, for me, this is literally a new hope. For me, in the franchise. You know? So there you have it. But
to go back on the Skywalker bit, it seems like across the extended universe and all that, it's just every male Skywalker is a whiny bitch.
Yeah.
And the female Skywalkers are...
I want to go into town.
I mean, you got one who's taking death sticks so he doesn't see his dad, who's telling him he's a failure.
Right.
So, I mean...
And then Luke also picked up the lightsaber that murdered many younglings.
Probably my only favorite scene from the prequels, too. Order 66, I love that.
So there you have it. I'm really, really, really hope that there's a lot of dogfights and some really awesome Jedi fighting. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, it's supposed to go back to the raw.
Right.
You know.
So we'll see how that works out.
We can hope. We can hope.
See, told you, it's a new hope for all of us.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we'll be back after we've seen the movie, hopefully in tears of happiness and not of shame. So yeah, stay tuned. Oh, it'll be spoiler-free, we promise.
Hi, this is Rosie from Rosie's Reading Corner. Check out my blog at ForbiddenPanel.com and discover new, and some not-so-new, graphic novels, manga, and other geeky reads along with me.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Panelcast. We just walked out of the theater after seeing Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. Don, what's your opinion?
I'm speechless, honestly.
It's not hard to find.
Yeah.
You never really talk anyway. Anthony!
I am very, very pleased. I'm overjoyed with how this one turned out. Trying to do this without spoilers is rough, though. It was fantastic. The use of actual physical props rather than CGI made it feel just so much better. The feel was that of the original trilogy for me, with going back to the old school original props instead of CGIing everything. That in and of itself was it lent it authenticity. So, characters. I'm happy with new characters and all. I'm even happy with the story for the time being. I want to see where it goes. So I love it, and I'm probably going to see it two or three more times before it leaves the theater. What about you?
I felt like I was in the movie. That's how good the effects were. Like, I felt like I was in those battles. I felt like I was in the pilot seat. You know, I felt like I was part of the story. Like, they brought me along. Whereas, you know, the original prequel, the prequel trilogy, felt very detached, like I was actually watching a film. This one, like, brought me back, like you said, brought me back to the original trilogy. Felt very familiar, even though, like, you know, all these new characters and whatnot, and the new characters filled in great. I thought they did a great job, and the effects were phenomenal. And even the lightsaber fights felt like they actually had lightsabers. You know, there was a couple of scenes where I was like, ooh, they got that, ooh. You know, seeing the reflections in the characters' eyes.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. I just thought...
It was fantastic.
Phenomenal. I thought it was a great job. Have you figured out something to say yet?
It was absolutely beautiful in every single way possible. That just rekindled my faith, honestly. Thank you, Disney, and thank you, J.J. Abrams.
That statement right there is probably the best statement about this. Anyone with questions going into this one, this washes away all the fears that they were going to completely butcher what we love. So, faith restored is absolutely true on this one.
I mean, I gotta admit, I got teary-eyed up there toward the end. Massive goosebumps.
Seeing those opening few notes hit, I was just...
Yeah. I thought it was amazing. I want to watch it a few more times. And actually, I think on the next Panelcast, it'll be 2 weeks from now. I think at that point we can go into spoilers and talk in depth as to what we specific scenes and whatnot we thought about the movie. But
we will hit a spoiler filled version of a review in the next Panelcast, because that'll give you all time to go out and see it and love it as much as we do before we start throwing out all the tidbits that what our favorite scenes were and what the coolest thing that we thought happened.
And by that time we'll have seen it a couple more times, so we'll have a little bit more familiarity. Well, I will say this though. It does feel a lot less racist than the other trilogy.
Well, yeah. There was nice smattering of color throughout. So, yeah.
I just meant, like, you know, the Gungans and the,
yeah.
The Trade Federation.
Yeah, I know.
The blatant, you know.
Yeah. That was really bad. So we didn't get that this time.
Right.
So that was good. That's an upside. Major upside.
All right. So from the three of us, major thumbs up on the film. And for that, we'll just go ahead and say goodbye from here. What has been a very long, but I think it paid off well day. You know, great day at the end of it. Nice to relive the experience as I did it as a child. I'm looking forward to the next one and the next viewing of this film. So with that, for Don and Anthony, this is AJ. Thanks again, guys, for tuning in. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram and everywhere else you can find us. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a more in-depth review of Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. Something deep inside me. Bye, guys.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.